Give everybody a warm welcome this morning. It seems like this is becoming a habit, and I know a little bit of Michael goes a long way, so I apologize for that. But I love how here at this church, how you guys minister to your pastor, and I think that's really important that we do that. Pastors have it really tough. They have a tough calling on their lives, and I remember when I was in Louisiana, and I'd been injured, and the doctor told me that was it. I couldn't be in the military anymore. So they were going to rush through a med board, he called it. Well, if you know the Army, they don't rush through anything. So it took about 3 months. In the meantime, I sent my kids back to stay with my mom and dad so they could go ahead and start school. And I got to spend a lot of time with my pastor during that time. I was licensed in a Southern Baptist church. And there was never a time I was over there that he did not get called to go visit somebody with a problem. There was never a time we sat through supper. And I'm not exaggerating that he was not interrupted. I remember talking to his wife and asking, how do you cope with this? How do you cope with the stress of all that? Because it's as much a calling for her as it is for him. And, you know, some denominations, they've decided that, wow, you know, this is so important that we think our minister shouldn't marry. But when you look at Scripture, it seems like they're stronger when they do. Now again, I'm not saying you have to or anything like that, but I think as a church, we also need to minister to our pastors and bear in mind how tough their role is that they have. You can look up Genesis chapter 12. We're going to start there. And thinking of God speaks with a purpose. Now, before we go there today, though, I want you to keep some things in context. Pastor Groeschel, he talks about something called Christian atheists, which, when you think about it, it's kind of an oxymoron. You think, well, that doesn't make sense, right? Christian atheist. But as he defines it, this is really an epidemic in our country. He's talking about people that believe in God, they go to church, but they live as if they don't. Okay? And in Scripture, we see three kinds of people. And you guys know this already. It's just stream of consciousness here. But we've got folks that they don't know the Lord. They just don't know the Lord. Then we've got folks that would say, I know him, but I don't know him well. Anybody remember Andre the Giant? I was telling, I teach martial arts, I was telling my students about it. I got to meet Andre the Giant. And you really can't appreciate how big that man is, or was, I think he's passed away, to see him in person. His hands were like this big. He really was a giant. So I could say, I know Andre the Giant. I met him, but didn't know him well, right? Would he remembered me? Probably not. You know, how many fans that man meet? You know. But then there are people that can say, I know God, and I'm intimate with him. And that's the purpose. I more than anything, I have that compulsion to just keep beating that horse that God yearns for intimacy with us. More than any other thing, God wants intimacy with us. He wants a love relationship with us that's real, that's personal. And I want everything I say today, because we're going to talk about character, to be framed by that. Because our salvation is not based on our works. Our righteousness is imputed. It was given to us. We got the righteousness of Christ because he lived the life that we could not. So I want everything framed by that. Now, as we grow in faith and as we grow in intimacy with the Lord, the works will come. But they don't save us. So just framing with that. So let's look at Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said unto Abram, and Abram, you guys probably remember, means exalted father, which is kind of ironic because Abram and his wife are having problems having kids. get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. Historians tell us that where Abram lived, it was a pagan country. There was a lot of pagan worship, a lot of idol worship. And I've read Jewish historians that have said that possibly Abram's father was maybe even a pagan priest. I don't know if that's true or not. The Bible doesn't tell us. So, get from thy father's house. Go to the land that I'm going to show you. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and all the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land into the place of Sychem, into the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there buildeth he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain in the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel in the west, and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Now, a lot of times we want God to speak to us, like through a devotional, or something that's going to help us feel good throughout the day. And that's great. The days that I start out in prayer and in Bible study, it's amazing how well my day goes, even if it didn't go well, even if everything's chaos. It just goes so much better. So it's really important. And one thing, when we think about the Word of God, a really important thing to bear in mind, James talks about the Word of God being like a mirror. And when you think about it, you know, if I had some dirt on my face or a piece of broccoli in my teeth or something, and I don't have a mirror, I'm going to walk around like that. One time, you know, I usually keep my hair high and tight, and the top there, it was sticking straight up. It looked like a rooster's comb. And my kids let me walk around like that all day and didn't point it out. But if we didn't have a mirror, we can't fix that, right? And that's what the Word of God does. It allows us to look into that and make that kind of correction. But now, if we want the God of the universe to speak to us, we have to be ready for Him to reveal to us what He's doing, where we're at, where we are in life. You see, in Scripture, God's not just coming and speaking to people just for the sake of conversation. God was always up to something. He had a plan. He had a purpose in mind. When God spoke to Abram, what was God about to do? You know, Scripture tells us that He was about to build a nation. Now, notice the timing of God. Why did God speak to Abram when He did? Again, because God is going to build a nation through Abram. Now, the moment Abram knew what God was about to do, he had to make an adjustment in his life. He had to make that adjustment to what God wanted. He had to immediately follow what God said. And he did that. Now, the moment God speaks is the very moment He wants us to respond to Him. Sometimes we think, you know, we have the next 3 months, next 4 months, you know, think about it and try to decide if this really is God's timing. But the moment God speaks is the moment of His timing. That's why He chooses to speak when He does. You know, He speaks to His servant when He's ready to move. And as God comes into the mainstream of our lives, the timing of our response is crucial. When God speaks to us, we need to believe Him, and we need to trust Him, and we need to act. Now, how long was it from the time that He spoke to Abram, exalted father, that Abraham, he changed his name, which is father of nations, that Isaac, the child of promise, was born. Well, Genesis 12:4 tells us Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Genesis 21:5 says, now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. That was 25 years. Why did God wait 25 years for Isaac to be born? I believe it took 25 years for God to develop Abraham into a father suitable for Isaac. You see, God's not concerned only about Abram in these scriptures. God's concerned about a nation, about building a nation. And the quality of the father will affect the quality of the nation. The quality of the father will affect the quality of generations to come. If you don't believe me, you look at what's happening here in America. As a therapist, I have people sit in my office every day. And a lot of these folks would not have to be there had they been able to grow up with a good father. Some grew up with abusive fathers or absent fathers, you know, fathers that didn't care. So the quality of the father determines where this nation is going to go. So God had to spend time to build Abram into a man of character. Now, Abram, he began to immediately adjust his life to God's ways. He had to. He couldn't wait until Isaac was born and then try to become the father God wanted him to be. So that we see that when God speaks, he has a purpose in mind for our lives. And we all have a plan and purpose. God's gifted us all. That's not a... When you look at Scripture, it says to each one, spiritual gift is given. That is a purpose for each of our lives. And when he speaks, we need to respond immediately by adjusting our life to him. Adjusting our lives to his purposes. Adjusting our lives to his ways. The moment God speaks is the moment of his timing. Now, a lot of times we're so oriented, especially in our culture, with quick results, that we abandon the word from God long before he has a chance to develop our character. And God develops character to match the assignment that he's given us. When he called Abram, he said, I will make your name great. Genesis 12:2. And that's what God meant. He was going to develop Abram's character. In the book of Proverbs, it says, a good name is better to be chosen than riches. And he's not talking about a good name like the name Michael or Edward or Randy or something like that. He's talking about character. By our reputation. And when you think about it, nothing is more sad or nothing is more pathetic than having a small character and being in a big assignment. And a lot of us, we don't want to give that time to development of our character. We just want the assignment from God. Now, imagine this situation. You've got a minister who's waiting for a big church to call him and take on the role of pastor. A small church calls him and says, hey, will you come and be bivocational and help us out here in the west side of Wyoming? And the prospective pastor says, well, no. I'm waiting for God to give me an assignment. I've done a lot of training. I've been through seminary. I really can't waste my life working a secular job when I can serve the church full time. I think I deserve something more significant than that. Now, is that response really centered on God or centered on self? And I think it doesn't take a lot of thought that we can see that viewpoint really is centered on self. You see, our human reasoning will never enable us to see God's perspective. It can't. It's kind of like some of these birds of prey, eagles or owls. If I understand correctly, they can see details accurately from a mile in the air. I mean, like a mouse moving or something like that. Our human vision can never compete with that. In the same way, our human reasoning, our human logic will never enable us to see things from God's perspective. That's why God had to act and give us his word and give us revelation. so that we could have his perspective. Now, if we can't be faithful in little, God will not give us a larger assignment. God may want to adjust my life and my character in all these smaller assignments in order to prepare me for the larger ones. And this is where God starts to work. When we make all those adjustments and when we start to obey, him, then we come to know him intimately by experience. And that's the goal of God's activity in our lives, is that we come to intimately know him through Christ. Now, do we want to experience God working mightily in our lives through us? If we do, we have to adjust our life to God in the kind of relationship where we follow him wherever he leads us, even if that assignment seems small or even if the assignment seems significant in our eyes. And we have to remember, God doesn't see things from our perspective. He said if you give a cup of cold water to a prophet, you have a prophet's reward. So God doesn't view things the way that we do. What we want to, all of us as believers, we want to hear God say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." You know, Matthew 25:21. Now, we might ask ourselves, well, do I automatically assume that a request like that pastor in the example received, go to the west side of Wyoming, that is from God because it's a small assignment, or that it is from God because I was asked this to begin with? Well, no. Whether assignment's large or small in our eyes, we still have to find out whether it's really from God. And we need God to tell us that. We don't want to rule out assignments, large or small, on the basis of our own preconceived ideas. And we're going to know what God wants through the relationship with him. We cannot bypass that relationship. You know, again, that's our focus, developing intimacy with the Lord God. Now, imagine we had a plan to go fishing or watch Monday Night Football or maybe go to the mall. And then God confronts us with an opportunity to join him in something. What do we do? Do we finish our plans and then kind of fit God's plans into the next available time on our schedule? Do we assume that since God knew my plans to begin with, that this couldn't really be from God? Or do we try to work out a way to do both what I want to do and what God wants to do? I'm sad to say in my life, I've tried to do that a lot. You know, try to have my cake and eat it too, I guess. Or do we adjust our plans to join God in what he's about to do? Now, a lot of people that we know, they're not going to interrupt a fishing trip, or they're not going to interrupt a ball game for anything in the world. In their mind, they say they want to serve God, but they keep eliminating from their lives anything that's going to interfere with their own plans. Their focus is so much on themselves that they don't recognize the time when God comes to them, when God speaks to them. And if we're God-centered, if our lives are focused on Christ, then we adjust our circumstances to what God wants us to do. If we're God-centered, we will recognize the Spirit's voice when he calls. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice. My sheep hear my voice." Now, one important thing to point out is God has a right to interrupt our lives. God is sovereign. He is Lord. When we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, we yielded that right. We no longer belong to ourselves. We gave him the right to help himself to our life anytime he chooses. Now, suppose 5 times out of 10, when the master had something for the servant to do, the servant said, "You know, I'm sorry, it's just really not on my schedule." What's the master going to do? Well, I think we imagine, you know, the master's going to provide some sort of discipline or some sort of corrective action. in our modern occupations, that might be a write-up or verbal admonishment or something. But suppose it doesn't work and the servant just doesn't respond. Well, the master is no longer going to come to him with assignments. Again, thinking of modern occupations, you know, if you're just not doing what you're supposed to do, you know, you're not listening to your manager, you're not making production or whatever the case is, you're not going to work there for very long, right? You know. Now, sometimes we say, man, you know, I wish I could experience God the way John or Sue does. You know, I wish God would work through me the way he does them. But see, the thing a lot of times we fail to notice that every time God comes to John or Sue, they adjust their life to God. They're obedient. Now, when John or Sue have been faithful in all these little assignments, God then gives them more important ones. If we're not willing to be faithful in little, God will not give us larger assignments. The smaller assignments of God are always used to develop our character. And God always develops character to match assignments. If God has a great assignment for us, he has to develop a great character in us to match that assignment. Otherwise, he can't give it to us. I want to ask a few questions just as a matter, just for a moment of reflection over these matters of lordship and over the matter of God developing characters. So if you will, just kind of bow your heads for a moment and just close your eyes. And first question, and just kind of, just let these questions kind of marinate. You know, don't anybody jump up and answer them out loud or anything like that. But what kind of assignment have you wanted the Lord to give you? Have you been frustrated or disappointed in this area of your life? Can you think of a time when God probably wanted to use you in an assignment, but you chose not to follow his leading? Is the Holy Spirit right now saying anything about your character? You know, if so, what is it? And then finally, does my actions acknowledge Christ as Lord in my life? If not, what response do I want to make? Or what response is the Holy Spirit asking me to make right now on the claims he has in my life? So you can open your eyes and just, again, think about that. You know, what was the Lord saying to you as you looked at those questions? Because those were all questions that, all this has come out of, there's some transitions, some changes coming in my life, and just really out of prayer. What I'm asking God, what do you want me to do? What's your direction in this? And you know, God asking me those questions about my character, what he wants to develop. You see, God, he requires time to prepare us for an assignment. When God tells us a direction, when we accept it, and when we understand it clearly, we need to then give God all the time he needs to make us the kind of person that he can trust with that assignment. We don't want to assume that the moment he calls us, we're automatically ready for that assignment. You look at Scripture and you think, how long was it after God, through Samuel, anointed David king, that David actually took the throne? You know, it was maybe 10 or 12 years. Now, what was God doing in the meantime? Well, he was building David's relationship with himself. Because again, as the king goes, so goes the nation. And one thing we cannot do is bypass character. I've heard Joyce Meyer talk a lot about this. And she tells us that our spiritual gifts can sometimes take us where our character won't let us go. That we have to have that character developed. Now, how long was it after God called the Apostle Paul that Paul actually went on his first missionary journey? Again, it was maybe 10 or 11 years. And bearing in mind that the focus wasn't solely on Paul, the focus is on God. God wanted to redeem a lost world, and he wanted to redeem the Gentiles through the work of the Apostle Paul. And God needed that time to prepare Paul for that assignment. Now, is it for for our sakes that God takes time to prepare us. It is, but not only for our sakes, but it's also for the sakes of all those that He wants to reach through us. For their sakes, we have to give ourselves to the kind of relationship to God that we've been talking about. Then when He puts us in an assignment, He will achieve everything He wants to through us in the lives of all those that we're going to touch. Psalms 20 verse 7 says, "Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." And I've shared this quote with you before, because to me it's just a very powerful quote. It's from the author Gypsy Smith. And Gypsy Smith said, "There are five Gospels of the Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you, the individual Christian. Most people will never read the first four." When we look at Revelation, it talks about it said they overcame the adversary. And how did they overcome the adversary? By the blood of their lamb and by the word of their testimony. Now, as I conclude, I want to conclude with just a few main points. The first is that the moment that God speaks to me is the very moment God wants me to respond to Him. The moment God speaks to me is the moment of God's timing. And God is going to develop my character to match the assignments that He has for me. This will not always be comfortable, but it is always necessary. And then finally, and most importantly, that God has a right to interrupt my life, that He is Lord. And when I accepted Him as Lord, I gave Him the right to help Himself to my life anytime He chooses. Now, as you see, like I said earlier, when we accepted Christ, we no longer belong to ourselves, we belong to God. Paul talks about being a bondservant of the Lord Jesus. And what he's talking about is a picture in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there was a lot of what we would call indentured servitude. You know, some of you younger people, you might remember studying. That's how a lot of folks got here to the New World. They agreed to work for someone for a certain amount of years to pay for their passage. In the Old Testament, someone may work for a master, do the indentured servitude. And sometimes after they finish that time of service, they loved the master so much, the master had been so good to them, they felt like part of the family. And they agreed then to continue to work for the master. They were bond servants. But they were no longer doing it out of compulsion, but out of love. That's what Paul said. I'm Christ's bond servant. And you see, there was never a time that we belonged to ourselves. There was never a time that we thought we did. And that's where the devil tried to deceive us. But the Bible tells us that we've all been in slavery to ourselves, to sin, to the world, and to the devil. Turning our lives over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ isn't slavery, it's freedom. The Bible says, "Who the Son has set free is free indeed." That this giving ourselves to God, that this surrendering of ourselves, what the Bible says, bring your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, for this is your reasonable service. When we offer ourselves totally to God, to allow Him to interrupt our lives as He chooses, then that is when we will experience peace. We will experience joy. We will never experience that on our own. So more than anything, understanding that God has that right to interrupt our lives, that God wants to use us, and that God wants, that God yearns intimate relationship with us. So I'll turn the service over. Is it back to you?